Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Cooking Casters for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. We're in Dubai. It's been a while. What do you Americans say? It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
Gerald Big Baby Miller, first of all, obviously just finished the weigh-in today here in Dubai at the Agenda Arena. How are you, first of all?
I'm alive, man. You know, they say you can't call yourself a real man if you don't face no adversity, you know, inside and out the ring, you know, so. Everybody know what I've been through in boxing and the professional world and in my personal life as well, too, you know, going through divorces, breakups and things like that and dealing with, you know, debts in the family, you know. It's been tough. It's been rough. But now I'm alive and I'm great. Grateful.
Obviously, the last time I think we did an interview was feels like a few years ago now, but there is kind of a missing period of boxing. Obviously, you touched on some of the things that are going on in your life, not just boxing. Was that a difficult kind of four-year period, it looks like, kind of in between? Obviously, you had those couple of fights last year, but in between that and the whole AJ thing, that was about a four-year period.
Yeah, it's going on 4 years now. I mean, it's been tough, you know. Everything 360 has been tough the last couple of years. But as a man, I've learned a lot. You know, I've learned a lot about the friends, you know, family, people I thought I really had my back and, you know, in best interest. Even, you know, I've known a lot about boxing, even from before. I even learned a lot more now. You know, a lot of these promoters are just, you know, BS and contradiction, you know. I don't have to say their name at this point yet, but I probably will sooner in this interview. But I'm trying to be polite in some ways, but they're dick riders, you know. They're hot when they're hot, and then when you're not, they just try to, you know, pawn you off or sell you out. So.
Well, I mean, in that four-year period, honestly, I just said that you had a couple of, we'll call them kind of comeback-y fights. No disrespect to the opponents, for yourself, that's some assuming how you would have viewed them. But at any point, even before that first one back, did you contemplate just maybe thinking kind of fuck boxing and coming out of it?
By the second year, I was kind of thinking that a little bit. I was doing some stuff, training for WWE, and I have some music I've been working on as well, too. I have some very influential finance people I've been learning some other things from, just to, you know, put my mind at ease and not think about boxing. But that warrior in me knows I have unfinished business. So even though it was a moment where my light kind of got dim spiritually and mentally, I knew that the killer in me has to come out, you know. And that's what it was, you know, it's finding ways to put that in Pandora's box and then release it when it was time, you know. So I've definitely found a space where I'm happy at. But now I know where I want to go, exactly where I want to go now, you know.
Obviously, that interview we did in Brooklyn, which was, like I said, a few years ago, we kind of went over that situation. And I don't really want to bring stuff up that you've spoken about, that's in your past now. But that point in your life was a very important point in your life because you were on the verge of your biggest fight to date. Right. So having to deal with kind of the collapse of that alongside other things going on in your life must have been very difficult.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, you lose like the biggest pit of your life, you know, and you know, and in a rematch clause where there'd have been more money, it's hurtful. But then you realize something that I've learned, you know, money's very important. And I'm gonna be a billionaire. You know, I already know what I gotta do to get there now. You know, outside of boxing, within boxing. But, you know, I learned something, you know, even from listening to music as well with Bob Marley, you know, money is infinite, you know, numbers are infinite. No amount of money in the world can make you happy. And I learned that even in a spiritual sense that I had to find myself out of that because, you know, living by myself for a while again and not having my kids around doing to my breakup, it caused me to kind of evaluate myself outside of boxing, you know what I'm trying to say? And before I could get myself right for boxing, I had to get myself right together. And that's what it came down to. You know, boxing is a learning experience in and outside the ring. So yes, losing the AJ fight did hurt, but it was easy to eliminate people out of my life that wasn't really meant, that wasn't there for me once that fight got canceled. You know, so it's crazy to me that, you know, I'm still, you know, I'm 34 on paper. It was really at 33, right? There's a whole other story behind that. But I'm still in my early 30s. You know, I'm undefeated. These guys are beat up and banged up. You know, fucking, you know, excuse my language. You know, Deontay's like a mental case. You know, AJ's just about out of there. He, you know, he don't know if he gonna shit or piss the way he be acting on camera. And, you know, Tyson, you know, only two top guys really is Tyson and Usyk. You know what I mean? Other than that, I'm the only American heavyweight. Really want to think about it. It's 100% the only American heavyweight. That's even fun to look at. Even fun to even put on an interview on the camera. I'm being modest right now, but I'll turn up sooner or later. He's going to ask me one question. I'm going to turn up real soon. I'm trying to be calm for now, you know. But, yeah, you know how I am. Yeah.
Gerald, at 33, 34, yeah. I'm going to keep saying that when I refer to your age, yeah. 33, 34, you believe that you can truly, obviously you've got your fight with Lucas Brown Saturday night here in Dubai, but you believe that you come through Lucas Brown, that you can map your path and mix it again with the likes of the guys you're still talking, whether it's Wilder, whether it's AJ, whether it's Tyson, Usyk, you believe that that's where you belong?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I took a lot from sparring. I sparred Tyson last year. I think he was getting ready for Dillon White. And I came into camp at 350 pounds, and I did more than handle myself very well. So I knew what I needed. I knew what I needed to tune up. I knew I needed to work on it. I needed to get some paperwork, contraction stuff, the issues together, put together, right? And like I said before, as a fighter, you have to be realistic with yourself. You got to know how to manage yourself. This is if you was hiring a manager. I knew I was heavy. My first fight back, I trained 3 weeks. I didn't even really run. And I thought a guy was good for 10 rounds. And I peppered him up. But he got some good shots in there, too. So it was a wake-up from that, okay, I'm 345 and I could do this. Time to get to work. Next month, I fought again at 330-something. You know, I stopped that guy. But now I'm finding a real game opponent. He's a little older than Lucas Brown. And I'm down at 330, you know. So I feel good. I feel great. You know, I've been working on getting the weight down, you know, doing everything the right way, following all the guidelines, listening to the right people. And I know by my next camp, which I'm probably going to go probably 2 weeks after this fight, I'll be well under, you know, 315 and have that stocky self back. You know what I mean?
Obviously, I know we're not going to, or you're not going to get ahead of yourself. You've got your job to do on Saturday night. But
let's talk about it now.
Let's cut straight to the chase. Do you still think somewhere there that the Joshua fight could still be there?
The Joshua fight has to still be there. And I'll tell you the reason why. Joshua's been getting his ass whooped too many damn times. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I might got my ass whooped in real life. He's been getting his ass whooped in the ring. So, yes, he wants an easy opponent. He's fighting, what's his name again? Jermaine Franklin, who came off a loss with Dillon White. So that kind of shows the mental state of where he's at, where his team is at, where they're looking for a win. You know, they took an easy fight. This is the win. Now, after this, where does Anthony Joshua really go? Really, like maybe Dillon White fight? Really, who was going to see that? He's not fighting Tyson, not Usyk. He's sure he's not going to fight Deontay. So, you know, I told myself I was going to be the bigger person when I talk about Eddie Hearn, and we all know he's a hypocrite at many times. He says so much nonsense, and we'll get about the guy that failed the other test, Ben, or what his name is. We'll talk about that a little bit. But let's just go for the information. Don't kill the message. I'm just giving you facts, right? So let's just say, for instance, now, AJ, I've heard from plenty of people, AJ said he wants to fight. If AJ really is the boss, he has to be the one that wants to fight. Eddie Hearn doesn't want that fight. Matthew don't want the fight. But AJ's the man. If he's the boss, he said he wants to fight. He's coming to America, training in Texas. He's telling people he wants to fight. Last time Matthew really came to America, they flopped. AJ came to America, he flopped, got his ass whooped. He hasn't been back since. So how can you be a world champion if you never won one fight in America? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, how can you call yourself that guy? you call you a tough guy, I'm this, I'm that, but you got your ass whooped by my brother Taco Bell. So at least come back and fight the cheeseburger and let's see what you're really talking about. Fight somebody's really game. Regardless, you want to talk and bring up nonsense. Listen, man, you know what these guys do, man. Let's pull our bullshit out. Let's be like men. Let's get in the ring and let's bang it out so I can really retire your punk ass. You know what I mean?
In quite a few interviews around that time that Eddie Hearn would have done with us and whatever other channel, I think I'm not going to quote him here, but I'm pretty certain he would have said at the time, or he did say at the time, that most unlikely that he would work with you again.
Yeah,
I'm pretty certain he said that. I mean, yeah, I can't.
Before, I heard other things all throughout the years that maybe one day it'd be about working together, blah, blah, blah. But you understand something, bro. When people are ass hurt, they say things and they get emotional, right? You know, Eddie says a lot of things when he gets emotional, but he got to be a bigger man and pick up the pieces. You know what I'm trying to say? He's done. He know what he's done. He know whose hands he's washing and whose knuckles he's had to polish over the years to get certain fighters fights. You know what I'm trying to say? I like Dylan White. You know, I'm a big fan of Dylan White. Don't get me wrong, but know his situation. You know, the other guy Ben. Look at his situation. You know what I'm trying to say? Molina. His situation, Povetkin, his situation, Ortiz, his situation, Canelo, his situation. I go on and on, bro. So this guy's the biggest hypocrite. Why is it? Because of Black Men for America. I took a lot of smacking on to back it up. That's the reason why you're coming for me. But like I said before, I've done a lot less than what these guys have got in trouble for. But the information, people just don't really care about it. And at this point, who gives a fuck? I'm back and I'm ready to attack.
So, an ideal 2023, boxing-wise, if you could map out, we're in March. So if you were to fight, I'm assuming after tomorrow night, or it could be tonight by the time this interview goes out, Saturday night, if I could map out two fights for you to close off 2023, where do you go? What path do you go?
Dubois and AJ. And I'd say the reason why Dubois' team has definitely been animated about making a fight happen. I think Frank wants to make a fight happen. I can't tell you exactly where it's going to be, but I would definitely want Dubois fight. And I heard he wants that fight too. So I think Dubois would be next. After Dubois, I really make a run for AJ, you know, because he's going to get his ass whooped sooner or later. So I want to really break his bones before, you know, he's no market or valuable or no money behind him. So that'd be the thing. And then from there, we take Tyson and Usyk as a belt from that point on. Because at this point now, boxing is real commodity in some ways now, right? They want to make the best fights, but you got to have some kind of name. You got to have some kind of marketability. You got to be able to talk. So either you have a bunch of fake Instagram followers or you can actually really talk and back it up. I don't have the Instagram fake followers like some of these guys have, but they know I can back it up. People really want to tune in. I'm the last American hope right now. So who else they got right now? You know what I'm trying to say? So at this point, it has to be me. And it has me be ready, set, go. And one of these guys are going to call me out or somebody goes up to the plate up. We're going to knock the head off.
Gerald, where do you think Wilder is? Obviously, he had a layoff after the third Tyson Fury fight, came back with an emphatic knockout of Robert Helenius. But where do you think Wilder is? There's talk of him fighting Andy Ruiz, possibly. Where do you think he is kind of in his career, and where do you think his head's at?
I don't think he's 100% there mentally as of yet, but he's still in the game. You know, he only got two losses. But, you know, his right hand is an equalizer. You know, his right hand's always going to be equalizer in boxing, you know. So the last thing to go in boxing is the power, you know. So he's definitely a player in the game. Is there anybody that really wants to see him at the top level to fight for a title right now? I don't think as of yet. I think there's a few other fights that people want to see before he gets a title shot again. But he's definitely a player in the game. You know, you can't knock him off for that. You know, only fights he lost is the world champion fight to the world champion. So you got to take his hat off to him. But, I don't think he's immensely all there yet. You know what I mean? But, like I said, that right hand still got him in the game.
When you spent that time with Tyson Fury, which was, a couple of years ago now?
No.
Was it more recent?
I went last year when he fought Dylan White.
So okay.
I'm working him again for about three and a half weeks, things like 3 weeks.
Did you guys talk about a potential fight in the future? Like when you were spending time with him, was that ever discussed?
Nah, we didn't really discuss that. Me and Tyson always keep it cordial, man. But he's always been a good guy, down to earth and cool, man. It's so funny because him and Sugar says, "Listen, man, I'm about to leave the game, man." Tyson said he wants to manage me, man. I beat all these guys. Tyson, I know Tyson talks a lot, but he means well. You know, but I know for a fact, I didn't think Tyson was going to retire at the top of his game after Dylan White.
No one thought he was going to retire, like, to be fair.
He's like, baby, you beat all these guys, man. Let me and Sugar manage you and train you, man. I'm like, Tyson, man, put it together, man, and let's see if we can make it work. But I know deep in my heart, I didn't think Tyson was going to retire. And here we are now, you know, 9 months, 10 months later, and he's fighting again, so.
Gerald, I'm sure you, alongside all boxing fans, etc., would have seen the antics online between Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk. It's been rather entertaining, especially we are used to it from Tyson, but to see kind of Alexander Usyk making these videos as well has kind of brightened everyone's Tuesday or whatever. But the 70-30 reported split that this fight's going to happen at, if that's correct, and if the fight's going to happen, what do you think? Is that fair or not?
I don't think it's super duper fair, but that kind of shows you where Usyk's mind is at, where he just wants to make the fight. So I'm not mad at Usyk, but I felt that should have been at least a 60-40 split. You know what I mean? He got more belts than Tyson. You know what I mean? But I know Tyson has a bigger name right now than Usyk. But end of the day, I'm still a world champion. You got to give me my respect. But that just shows you kind of man Usyk is, and he has confidence in himself. You know, so I take my hat off to both guys. You know, they're both phenomenal dudes outside the ring. I got nothing bad to say about that. I wish them both of luck, and I hope they get to knock one of their heads off soon enough. But I do have to say about my prediction about that fight. A lot of people says that Tyson is going to just, you know, beat up on Usyk and walk him down. Now, in my mind, I'm pulling it like 55-45 Tyson, right? Because they're both great, phenomenal boxers. Tyson's more heavy-handed. But a lot of people that know how to box and have good foot fundamental give Tyson problems. And we all know Usyk is a great mover. Now, does he have power to knock out Tyson with one punch? Can he sustain that weight being on him? I don't think so. And that's why I give the edge to Tyson more. But I don't think it's going to be the easiest, cleanest fight we've ever seen. It could be a little stalemates here and there, I feel like. Like, you know, when Tyson fought Vladimir. But I think it's still going to be entertaining forever, how long it lasts. And I wish both guys, you know, luck.
That could be near here. In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Well, it's more likely to be Wembley now, but it could have been Saudi Arabia.
It could have been Saudi.
We don't know where it's going to be, but I think all arrows are pointing towards Wembley.
Yeah, I'm definitely here in Wembley in England right now. So.
Do you know one of those random things I just thought of with you? Mm. I remember I was in Kansas with you when you were fighting Bogdan Dinu. Mm. And I remember walking into the bar and you and a couple of other guys were singing Backstreet Boys on the karaoke. Remember them days?
Yeah. I remember that. It was a couple of my cousins and we was, you know, having a good time, taking the stress off, you know. Fight week for me is always a pleasant time for me to kind of just not think about boxing. It's weird, right? Like, fight week, I don't think I really think about boxing. You know, you're always thinking about boxing 24/7 as a fighter. And that's what's hard about the last couple of years. It was like, you know, what I've been doing from the time I was 14, 15, I'm always a fighter. Rather, I was in the street hustling or, you know, I never really had a 9-to-5. And I never had a job. I was always a street kid or boxing and fighting. So for the last, you know, 3 years, it's like, I don't have to think about boxing, but it's always in your mind, you know. So, you know, but fight week, it's like, I know I'm fighting on Saturday, so I don't got to think about it. Kind of just find things to do to kind of keep your mind at ease, keep your stress levels level, and just relax. And then come Saturday night, ding, 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 school bell and ring. Somebody going to fight and not hit the ring.
You're a poet and you didn't know it. Yeah. Gerald, you can answer. I'll ask you two questions in one and you can answer them both together.
Yeah.
What of the last 5 years would you say, if you had a regret, what would that be? Secondly, what have you learned about the industry most in that 5 years?
My biggest regret... not listening to myself, I feel like. I've always been a person to double check, triple check, four check, and I didn't do that. But at the same time, I don't regret. And I'll tell you the reason why, it's right. Because of what happened to me, it eliminated a lot of extra drama out of my life. It eliminated people out of my life that wasn't there for me. It eliminated promoters, managers that were just fake, bogus, you know, just you know, full of BS. So, and I'm still young. So it's a learning lesson, you know. And I also started reading a lot more and started looking at other people's life. You know, Ali was away from, 3 years from the boxing game, you know, came back, became world champion. Mike Tyson had his problem with that situation. He's my idols. And he was away from boxing almost 3 years as well, too. So a lot of champions, even Floyd took off 2 years, you know. So a lot of fighters had times where they took away from the sport and had... controversy where they were away from the game for a couple of years, and they came back and became better. So I look at it like maybe this is my epiphany moment to see, you know, where I'm very spiritual, where God says you're moving a little too fast. There's something around you I don't want you to be involved with, and you got to slow down. And that's how I look at it. Yeah, I regret. I want the money. Yeah, but like I said, money's not everything. Sometimes we get the money, you die. You know, look at my homie from the Migos. What's his name? You know, Takeoff. All his money, young kid died. Nipsey Hussle, money died. You know what I mean? When you come from my neighborhood, it's like you hit 25, it's like you lucky. You know what I'm trying to say? So getting to the age I'm at now, and I understand the power of money, I understand the power of influence, I understand the power of politics, I understand the power of people being around you. It was a learning process, but I know where I'm at now, and I know where I want to go. I'm still the same guy. Don't get it fucked up. I knock head over and poke your neck with a pencil. Don't get it twisted. I go to UK and really hit you on your head. You know what I mean? But I've learned to just, you know, brush things off, because I don't have an ego outside of boxing. When it comes to boxing, I'm going to knock anybody head off. But outside of that, I just try to take my time to kind of look at stuff and be like, man, all right, I know why A and B and C comes after. That's all.
Okay. Well, look, I appreciate you are fighting tomorrow night. I have to refer to this because this interview might be going out in the morning in the UK time. So he's fighting Saturday. Gerald's fighting Saturday.
Saturday.
18th of March. Today is actually St. Patrick's Day. So
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. So have you got any Irish friends you want to shout out
to? So it's so funny, right? So St. Patrick's Day is a wonderful time celebration. But I learned so much about St. Patrick's Day, too, because it's not really a holiday, supposedly. Now, if you dig into the history of St. Patrick's Day, it's not really a holiday, you know what I mean? But I got to go into the history, but I can't remember exactly about it. But hey, my name is Miller. My grandfather is half Irish. So to all my Irish friends out there, man, don't drink too much. Don't drink and drive. Don't party hardy. And make sure you get home to your missus and lay one on for me.
Okay, I thought we was going to have a Tony Thompson moment there. Okay, Gerald, listen, appreciate your time as always. And yeah, we'll catch up after your fight on Saturday night. We'll get a post-fight reaction, and then that's where you'll be hyped up, and that's when we'll get a bit of the old Gerald back. This was good. This was a happy medium for you today. But you're chilled. You're chilled.
Like I said, man, like, you know, I could have been doing interviews the whole time I was off. I just choose not to because I'm real, man. Like, why am I going to talk smack about? Who am I going to talk smack about? For what? What's the purpose behind that? You know, I'm a fighter. Everybody's a human being. I respect everybody as a human being. Don't get it twisted. It's when it comes to fighting, I believe what I say, and I does what I say. So for me not being able to do my profession, nothing for me to talk about right now. As I was doing movies and music, oh, yeah, album coming out soon. I got some big things coming out. I can't say too much about it, but don't worry about it. Super sick. But when it's time for me to talk that extra sauce on it, I'm going to do what I do. That's what I talk. You know what I mean? And shout out to my little brother, David Adelaide, man. You look phenomenal in that last fight, brother. That boy can crack.
Yeah, it was a good win for Adelaide last time out. Yeah. Okay, Gerald, thank you very much for talking to IFL TV. And yeah, we'll catch up with you after your fight on Saturday.
I appreciate you guys, man. Blessings, man. Be safe. One love.
Sports Social Podcast Network.